Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN, and we're here with our guest Pam Police, executive producer and director of the Dick Biondi film. And I've asked Bobby Scafish to hang out and Rick Camphor. We're going to talk about radio and Dick Biondi. That was another nod to your book, We Have Company. You like that? If we have time, we'll get to the Mellencamp story or read the book. So, Pam, I've been talking to you through Facebook and all this stuff. Thanks for coming down.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
And I'm real curious about just the germ of this project. What got you interested in doing I want to preface that by saying I'll never forget how Dick Biondi made me feel when I was a mixed-up kid in the 60s.
That is correct.
It up from that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was 12 when I first heard Dick on the radio. And, of course, that was May 2nd, 1960, when WLS went from the Prairie Farmer to 24 hours of rock and roll.
Holy cow. You know that right off the top of your head?
Yeah. Okay. And I remember it because I was tuning into the Farm Report in the morning, and all of a sudden I'm hearing alley-oop, and it was unbelievable. But then when I heard Biondi at 9 o'clock, that was it. I was hooked. And I was a huge fan, and I met him a year later when he was the number one disc jockey in America. And I didn't know what to expect. I knew he was a nut, you know, but I thought maybe he'd have an ego. But, of course, Dick does not have an ego. He is the nicest guy. And I couldn't believe how nice he was and how, you know, he asked questions about me. And, you know, he made me feel special. And he has a knack for doing that. So I got hooked on him. And I ended up having a Dick Biondi fan club and hanging out at WLS on Saturdays, going to sock hops. And I've been a fan ever since.
Yeah. First of all, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Villa Park.
Villa Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
You and we touched on this a little bit, Bobby. There was a time there in the 60s where, and I don't know if Rick, you might be too young to remember, but there was a time in the 60s where these guys were like big celebrities.
Absolutely.
Same thing. I'd come down from Naperville and we'd go see Lou Jack and, you know, they were accessible.
They were stars.
So
they
was really Biondi were. Like that for you?
Oh, yeah. Big yeah. time. I mean, everywhere. Dick, do you know that he was actually flown around the city to do his personal appearances in a helicopter?
Really?
Yes.
Around Chicago?
Around the city, all over, in the suburbs. I met him at the Hillside Shopping Center, which wasn't too far from my home. But he was helicoptered in over there. And, I mean, the guy was, he was really big.
And what what hooked you about him as a listener?
Oh, he was so different. He was so unique. I mean, how many people slurp their coffee and, you know, and tell these corny jokes, you know, and just, I don't know, you know, he was just a nut.
And then when you met him, it didn't disappoint you?
Not at all. I was actually shocked to see how nice he was. And I've heard that from so many people I've talked to. We've interviewed over 50 people for this film. And everybody's got a kind word to say about Dick.
And when did you start the film, and why did you start to do it?
Well, I started it, actually, I thought I had retired. I moved out to La Porte, Indiana in the end of 2009, and I actually was going to retire. And then I decided—
What were you doing for a living?
I worked in the restaurant business for many years,
oh,
and
really?
I also had my own video production business.
Okay.
So I was still kind of dabbling in the video memoirs. That's what I really like, is telling stories about people's lives. So this is only kind of natural. And I ended up meeting a filmmaker, became friends with her, and I was telling her how I always secretly wanted to do Dick's story. And she said, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, this is a big story here. He knows everybody. But I thought, you know what? I'm retired. I've got the time. I'm going to do it. So I asked Dick. And he said, yeah, and I couldn't believe it.
And when was that?
That was March of 2014.
March 2014.
3 years ago.
And you're doing a fundraising drive.
I am.
To try to get the screener done, right?
Exactly.
And correct me, these numbers, you're looking for $30,000
to
get to that point.
And
there's 9 days left?
7 days.
Oh, 7 days.
Seven
so give
days.
It, tell the listeners how they can help you out.
Well, if you go to dickbiondifilm.com, there is a button there. That's our website. You'll see a button that says donate. And if you go on that, if you hit that button, you'll go to our Kickstarter campaign. And we have a video there you can watch. And there's all kinds of pledge gifts there. There's T-shirts and pens and static clings and a Dick Biondi pizza party that you could be part of. and all kinds
and tell
of
us, clothing. Tell the listeners why pizza is important in his repertoire.
On top of a pizza.
Yeah.
Nobody sings it like Dick. I got a lot of nerve trying.
And who all have you interviewed?
I've interviewed a lot of the local jocks, like Bob Surratt, Scott Childers, Bob Hale. He's one of the original.
Oh, I know Bob. Yeah, he's the old Buddy Holly guy.
He's one of the original swinging seven DJs.
Bob doesn't like the time change. I saw he was posting about that. He's very upset about the time change. It's coming at 2 a.m.
Bob is so funny.
Yeah, right.
I'm listening to him, you know, doing his transcripts. I'm laughing. I mean, he's just hysterical. Gosh, who else have I? I've interviewed all kinds of artists, you know, musical artists, like all the local bands. You know, Jim
Buckinghams Peterick, and Peterick.
Buckinghams, yeah. Jim Peterick from the Ides of March, Crying Shames, Ronnie Rice from the formerly from the New Colony Six, and Jimmy Sons from the Shadows of Night, Carl Gemarisi, Dennis Stefano, all those guys. And of course, they all love Dick. But beyond that, I've also interviewed some other guys, Tony Orlando, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
You got Brian Wilson.
I was really excited about that. Because, I mean, I grew up with these guys, you know. Bobby Rydell. I got to sit on Bobby Rydell's lap at the Arcata Theater.
Oh, I'm glad you say where it was at.
Do you know I had the biggest crush on Bobby Rydell when I was, eighth grade?
He was a handsome young man.
Oh, my goodness. If I would have ever dreamed I'd be sitting on his lap.
Now, what about Dick? What's Dick's participation been?
Dick, well, I've interviewed him on two separate occasions at his, you know, WLS studios, and also have followed him around to sock hops, all kinds of personal appearances, the toy drive. We've got stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did a big piece on him in 98 for the Sun-Times.
I read that.
Printed some
of
this.
It was awesome,
I tried to be thorough. Thank you. And I, first of all, I have his age by this thing. How old? Tell me how old he is.
He's going to be 85 in September.
85 in September. So he told me back then, he goes, how can I say this? Of course, he was humble. I'd like to continue to be one of the few jocks who started before rock and roll that's still doing a full-time shift in a major market. That's really amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And the fact that he's on the air at this age is incredible.
Can I jump in with a question?
Sure.
Is it true, was Biondi the first disc jockey in North America to play a Beatles record?
Yes, he was.
Please Please Me, he played
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely.
How cool.
Yeah, he played it at WLS.
Yeah.
And he actually got it on the Silver Dollar Survey.
Wow.
It got down. It was not that high, but he got it on there. He kept playing it. So he got fired from WLS. Imagine that. By the way, Dick has been fired 25 times during his career.
That's what he told me, yeah. But back then it was 23, so he added,
yeah, so
added
it's 25 to. Now. Yeah. But then he got fired, and he went out to KRLA in California, and he put it on the air the second night he was there. He said the phones were ringing, and the kids were calling in saying, take that crap off and play the Beach Boys.
Really?
Yes, because this was a year before they actually took off.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I asked Bobby about a little bit of the resume. I mean, this is what Dick told me. I mean, Alexandria, York, Pennsylvania, Youngstown, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, Chicago, Chicago LS, Pasadena, Chicago CFL, Cincinnati, North Myrtle Beach, which I love that stop because of the beach music, and then WJMK. And have you found out, has anyone gotten to the point of like where the commitment comes from? What keeps him going?
Well, you know, when he was 8 years old, he actually got to read a commercial on the air, and he got hooked on radio. And ever since then, that's all he was wanted to do. All through high school, he was a gopher at the local station. And, you know, as soon as he graduated, 2 weeks out of high school, he took off. And he's been just chasing. He said his father at the bus station took his arm and said, okay, kid, go chase your dream. And he says he's been chasing it ever since. And he loves it. And when he's not on the air, he wants to be on the air. So he just wants to keep going.
Cool.
Yeah.
One of his first jobs in Binghamton, he told me that he'd go get coffee for Rod Serling.
That's right. Yeah.
Rod Serling.
Nice.
The Twilight Zone.
That was precursor to Nocturnal Journal of Twilight Zone. But yeah, so that goes back that far. When is this going to be out?
Well, gosh, it depends on how many people are out there listening. Go over to DickBiondiFilm.com and make a pledge.
Yeah.
It really does. It's, you know, I'm ready. We've been interviewing people, over 50 people, for the last 3 years. And we've been doing a lot of research. I've learned a lot about radio, let me tell you. It's fun. I'm really enjoying this. And we're ready to put it together, but we just need to find the funding.
And what are the next steps then? You are going to do a screener?
Yes, and then we're going to try to raise the rest of the money because this is going to cost quite a bit of money. Hopefully we'll have some original music in there from the 60s, that can run into some money.
Yeah, music rights, we're talking about.
But
that.
We're trying to get this on public television because I think that's our audience. And, you know, we'd love to have somebody out there who's listening who would love to be a sponsor, and that would be awesome.
You said you've learned a lot about radio. Elaborate on that. What have you learned?
Well, you know, I mean, I was just a fan. I didn't know anything about radio other than listening to my buddy Dick Biondi, you know, and listening to disc jockeys that I like. But, I mean, I've actually learned about, you know, AM. I didn't even know the difference between AM and FM, okay?
Really?
The skywave bouncing around the world. It's just, it's fascinating. Gosh, I don't know. What else? I've just learned a lot about the whole story of WLS, you know, the Prairie Farmer, and how it all changed, and how it's changed over the years, actually. Radio has changed quite a bit from how it used to be, and I'm actually focusing on the old days of radio back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, when you could actually, the local bands could bring their record down to the station and wait for Dick to take it and listen to it. And they're driving home, and all of a sudden they're hearing their record on the radio, and wow. It turns into a number one hit.
Yeah.
You know.
And like, we remember these guys, some of them, like, there was Dex Cards, yeah. Wild Goose.
Yeah.
These
yes.
guys would have, like, you know, teen clubs.
That's right.
Well, they would MC, you know, sock mm-hmm. hops on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Do you remember that stuff?
Yeah, I went to, there was a Wild Goose in Northwest Indiana. I went there, and Dex Card MC'd. See bands like, who's that band, Could Have Been a Lady. April Wine was a band I saw there. Cracker, which was, with a K, the first band signed by the Rolling Stones of their label. Saw them at a Wild Goose. Hey, I don't want to step on your act, Dave, but can I try one more question?
Sure.
When Dick got fired from LS, now that's like a controversial thing. There was rumor for years that he told a dirty joke. In reality, it had to do with the number of commercials on his show. Is that right?
That's right.
You tell it, please.
Yeah, this is so fun. It's the big urban legend that continues to this day. And I've interviewed a lot of people, and I ask them this question. And I've gotten all kinds of answers. It's really amazing. I've gotten people saying, he never said that joke. And I've got people saying, I heard it with my own ears.
Of course. Yeah.
A lot of people said that. Amazing. But, of course, Dick, I'm you know, I'm going by what Dick says. And he says it was the commercials. Bob Hale also, he was there.
Yeah.
He said it was the commercials, and apparently Dick was just fed up with how many commercials they kept loading them on, and it was just getting really bad, you know. And he was feeling, he always cares about the listeners, and he wants to make sure he does the best show he can do. And at this point, I think he was feeling that maybe this was getting a little too much. And he got into it with somebody at the station, and I guess they had to pull him apart. It was pretty bad.
Thank you.
Did you ever go see him work?
Sure.
Yeah. Rick, you produced him?
Well, no, I worked with him. I worked at the same radio station as him for 10 years, and I produced a couple of shows for him. And what I remember about him is you could just throw out a name, like Jerry Lee Lewis.
That's true.
Tell me a story. He literally met every one of these guys.
Yeah,
and
right.
He has some unbelievable stories, and you cannot stump him. If you have a rock artist from the 50s or 60s, he knew them all personally.
Yeah,
that's right.
I remember he stood up when I sat in on a show one time. Did he always work standing up?
Yeah, often.
Why did he do that?
He's got so much nervous energy.
Energy, yeah.
He does.
He can't sit still.
It's like the Energizer Bunny running around the studio. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break for some spots, some commercials, and then we'll be back with Pam Police, and we're going to talk about the Dick Biondi film after this on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and we're talking about the beauty of Dick Biondi with Pam Police, executive producer and director of the Dick Biondi film.
Yeah. That's me.
And we were taking about...
Sounds important, doesn't it?
During the break, we were talking about phone calls. I remember one thing he told me, and then I want Rick to tell his story, but he would said he would call his mom every morning. Did you ever hear that?
Yes,
he'd
I call have.
His, he'd pick his forgotten oldie or something, and then he would call his mom.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Isn't he something? I know.
Every morning he would call.
Yep.
Just what a sweet guy.
Was this on the air or off the air?
Off the air. Okay. It was off the air. Just
to see how she's doing.
Just check in on
her.
Yeah. And Rick, you have a great story.
And when I worked with him, I was walking by the program director's office one day, because I worked in the mornings with John Landecker, and he was on at night. So I didn't actually see him a lot. But every morning he called into the program director's office just to see if he still had a job. Because he had been fired so many times, he wasn't sure every day. He wanted to make sure, do I come in tonight? Every day he called.
Yeah.
And according to his producer, Dan Wolf, he still calls in every day.
Wow.
Although he has a new producer now, Justin Kosek. I think that's how you pronounce it. But yeah.
Did radio change like that over the years? Were you always insecure? I mean, were you always, like Bobby, were you worried about stuff like that or...
I don't think I was smart enough to. I mean, really, no. I would not assume stuff like that. They'll let you know if they want you out. They'll find you. You don't have to call in.
Talk about the coffee. You got an event coming up to raise money. I really want to see this thing. How does Dick feel about all this attention?
Well, Dick is a very humble man, and I just don't know if he's. I know he's honored. You know what he did? We actually announced this on the stage of the Arcata Theater on February 14th. And we got to show our video and we got to make an announcement in front of the whole audience with the Cornerstones of Rock concert. That was great.
Yeah.
We really took off on our campaign. It was great. But Dick, he couldn't be there. So he made a video for us, which we played to the crowd. And he said something to the effect of... for a skinny, what do you say? A skinny kid, Italian kid from upstate New York. This is really something. So I do think he's feeling quite honored about it. I do, and I'm honored that he's letting me do it. To be honest, this is really something.
Channel 11 would be such a great place to play it too.
Yes, it would, because he is Mr. Chicago. I mean, let's face it.
Be so cool.
And you have complete editorial freedom. He's not like calling shots.
He's been great.
What's the event you have coming up, you said?
Well, John Landecker, used to work with Dick at WLS, and John kind of lives in my neighborhood now. He's in Michigan City. Well, I should say I live near John. But we were on the show on his show yesterday, and he actually, this was his idea. We're going to do an event next Wednesday at the Shoreline Brewery in Michigan City, and we're going to have from 6 to 9 p.m. a live remote, and he and his buddy Mike Dempsey, they do a show together every week on WeFM out of Michigan City. So they're going to do their show live, and we're inviting everybody to come out. It's going to be a blast. We're going to play oldies. We're probably going to be dancing over there. I think I'm going to bring my hula hoop. So we're going to try to raise some money for the Dick Biondi film. This is what this is all about. And, people love Dick, and they really want to see this film made, and we're going to make this happen.
Did Landecker volunteer this?
He did.
Oh, how cool.
I know. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Really, I'm just blown away. I tell you what, I've not met so many nice people in my life that I've met doing this project.
What kind of music did you listen to growing up?
I listened to, the stuff, actually pre-Beatles, a lot of pre-Beatles stuff. I was into all that old doo-wop and, the stuff before the Beatles. I mean, I love the Beatles, don't get me wrong, but I think when you're really young, like 8 to 12, 13, 14, that music really sticks with you. And that was my era, so.
Because, not to wallow nostalgia, but I do wallow in nostalgia when I think about the playlists of the 60s. I mean, 1967, I'm looking at October 12th, 1967, CFL, that would have been the Sound 10 survey. You had the Hombres, Let It All Hang Out, Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. Then you had Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze, The Doors, People Are Strange. That diversity is just...
I think
that's why some people of our generation maybe have open ears. You just all this stuff was coming at you.
That's
Frank
right.
Sinatra and
exactly.
Nancy. It was weird.
And then the Yardbirds.
I think it's a really important time in radio history. Yeah. It really is.
I agree.
Have you picked that up in doing this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's face it. You could, back when Dick was on, you'd be playing something like, you know, a country-sounding song, and then you'd have, you know, I can't even remember. But, I mean, it was such a variety. It was unbelievable. So.
Well, thank you. I wish you all the luck
you.
In the world.
Thank
I'm
going to
send you $50
Dave.
And get a T-shirt.
Cool.
That's one of the premiums, right?
You mean so, like this one I'm wearing?
Yeah, that's very nice. The Dick Biondi film, very stylish. So, Pam, give us the information again, how people can help out with your film.
Okay, it's dickbiondifilm.com. And you can just see that big donate button there, and we would love to have you.
And you have 7 days.
7 days.
And then what happens after seven days?
Well, it's all or nothing. I mean,
it is.
Kickstarter,
yeah, right.
You know, if you don't make it, you don't get anything.
Okay.
So no money changes hands until the campaign's over.
Okay. So yeah. People really get on this.
Yeah.
Okay. Bobby, tell them how they can find your book again.
One of two ways, actually. EckertsPress.com or BobbyScafish.com.
And it's doing real well?
It's
and
doing
And you're not
well.
Going to do a volume two?
I don't think so.
I really like it.
Thank you.
It's so honest.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't.
It's not snotty or anything.
No, it's not snotty. I think I exhausted most of the source material.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I went a different direction writing about radio, that would be one thing. But for doing this kind of thing with the artist interviews, that's it, you know.
Okay. And Rick, thanks for coming down. Tell us how people can find other books you've done. And
Well, you're talking about John Landecker. We have his book, too, at
EckertsPress.com.
Records is my middle name.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming in and talking about radio.
Thank you, guys. This has been really fun, and so nice to meet you.
Nice.
And we're going to be back after David Jennings and the news on Nocturnal Journal.